Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Nick Frazier in for Big Joe. He'll be back tomorrow. And out in Arizona, where the NFL meetings have been going on, our man Teron Davenport joins us on the program. TD, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How are you guys?
We're fantastic. Well, what's it been like out there in Arizona?
Well, I would say this. The weather has been beautiful. A lot of mixing around and talking to different folks. Man, it's been great, man. I really enjoy opportunities to get away like this. Even got to go catch a baseball game last night.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake's Tigers, man. They gave up a five-run lead in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Oh.
Ended up losing the game. 5-0, and then they lost 7-4.
Well, that's
7-5, rather. Excuse me.
That's tough for Jake's Tigers, for sure. But when Mike Borgonzi spoke, he made it very clear that this team is going to take the best player available, if in fact they stay at number four. But whenever they make their pick, he said that phrase in some variant over and over again. So yeah. do you feel like that with a lot of mock drafts predicting Jeremiah Love that, at four, Jeremiah Love truly would be the best player available?
I mean, it's very possible he could be the best player available. And, you know, boards are all subjective, right? And David Bailey has gotten top pass rush, selections as far as ranking is concerned. And you've seen Reuben Bain get, just best overall player. So it could be a variety of guys. I thought it was interesting. Like, I came away from the Borgonzi presser like, you know what? I think they very well may draft Jeremiah Love, but then after talking to Salah, it's like, you know, he says that playmakers could be edge makers, edge rushers too, and it's just like, all right, well, or as he termed it, game changers. That's how he termed it. But, yeah, it's really interesting, man. There's a lot of back and forth. It's really hard to tell for sure.
Well, do you take that as – the GM's thinking one way, the coach's thinking the other, or knowing that this time of year is a little bit of line season that they don't want to show their hand, and so one guy's going to say one thing and another guy's going to say another?
Yeah, I mean, there is some of that, to try to drum up interest, because here's another thing that no one really pointed out. For guys, he said the phones are open.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So he did make it known that, they will be willing to make a deal, obviously, if one came across. But I think it's a mixture of the two. But, I mean, I don't believe totally in the whole smokescreen thing. I think to an extent, yes, but not the effort that people seem to think it is.
Teron Davenport's online with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Teron, when it comes to wide receiver K.J. Osborne, what does he bring to the table for the Titans? And also, does that kind of look at the trajectory of where the Titans are going to look at for the draft instead of maybe taking a flyer on a fourth-round pick for a wide receiver?
I don't know that it's necessarily replacing the flyer fourth-round pick receiver. I think it's a back-of-the-rotation type of move to give him a guy that could come in and compete, and he has some return skills too. He could give you some slots. So I think, there's a mixture of it with him, and it's a move that's obviously not overly significant, but it could end up being a nice. I would compare this to the James Prochet signing last year. It's the same type of move.
Well, and I kind of get the sense, TD, that like they're content going into camp with anywhere from 10 to 12 viable receivers that they have to choose from to make it a tough decision to improve that room.
Yeah, and I mean, you want competition at every position, and it for the most part, it breeds success. So I can't knock them for what they're doing. And it's, again, like it's not a high-profile move. It's not an expensive one. They're just bringing in a veteran receiver and hey, see what happens.
TD, we were talking to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, and I asked him about Peter Skoronski and the Titans, having roughly $63 to $64 million in cap space. Do you see a deal being done before the season with Peter Skoronski?
I don't know that a deal gets done. I'm not sure about that. It doesn't seem like it's pointing that direction. I'll say that, but you know how things could change in a hurry. So you never know, but I don't think so.
Do you think that's a potential concern going forward with this team because it needs to be built from the inside out?
No, I don't think that's a concern. I don't think Skoronski is going anywhere. I just don't think that I'm not going to say I don't think. I don't know that a deal is going to get done before the season.
I gotcha. And then adding on to that as well, when it comes to another free agent guy today, Hendon Hooker, out of the same draft class as Will Levis, what do you make of the quarterback being brought in back home to Tennessee?
Yeah, how about that, right? You know, maybe 3 years ago, if I would have said to you, hey, man, Will Levis and Hendon Hooker, they're going to be on the Titans, and Cam Ward's going to be the starter, you'd be like, what? So it's come full circle, and it's just one of those things where it shows you the projection, like how much of a projection and crapshoot this is, right? Because Hendon Hooker was a guy that, you know, people felt was a Heisman candidate, one of the best college football players. And now look at him, he's struggling to make a roster.
Yeah, and whatever it may be for Hendon Hooker being with the Titans going into, you know, training camp and so forth, I look at this as a solid opportunity for Will Levis to kind of prove himself. And also it's a twofold thing because then it allows the Titans front office to shop him around and say he's looked really good in all of our practices.
Yeah, how about that, right? And, of course, you know, Robert Saleh, he said he wants 3 joint practices, so a little more advertising.
Well, and what I'm curious about, TD, is – I mean, we believe Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the backup, right? Like, I don't think you sign him to have a competition. So, to me, I look at it as right now, especially with Cam Ward coming off an injury, you want to have, you know, 3 guys at least healthy going into training camp, knowing that it may take him a little while and you want to protect him.
Right. Yeah, you want to make sure that you have enough in there to where, you know, neither of the quarterbacks, their arms are getting stressed from having to throw too much. I mean, that's typically why you have 3 quarterbacks in a situation where there's not a true competition for the backup type of situation. You know what I mean? Kind of like last year. You know, I think that's more or less how the setup is in that case. But I think in this case, you know, they want to showcase Levis if they don't deal him before the draft.
Going to be interesting for sure with that when it comes to the quarterbacks. Borgonzi talked about interior offensive line. Do you kind of feel the same way I do that the draft is a really good place to find that in just about any round that, you know, Tim Hasselbeck brought up? It has interior offensive linemen has a pretty low bust rate in the first round. So do you feel like this draft in particular could be where they could fix a lot of those issues? I think we lost TD. We'll get him back.
That Arizona weather, it can drop a call just like that. It's hot out there, by the way. It's like 100 degrees. There we go.
We lost you there for a second, TD.
Yeah, had a drop call there, my bad. I do feel like the offensive line, especially the interior part, you could get some good players. I mean, look at the guy who's competing for one of those jobs right now, Jackson Slater.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a day 3 pick, right? And Mike Borgonzi, we talked to him on Monday, and he did say, hey, listen, you know, on day 2, day 3, you could get guys, you know, who could start. So they believe that too. And it's interesting because you kind of got mixed signals coming out because I know at the combine, the conversation that I had a lot was about making sure that things were easier for Cam and having a veteran center. You know, and obviously Austin Slotman is a guy they signed, but there wasn't really a conversation about youth and you know, this year's draft being an area that they're going to tap in order to, you know, improve the interior offensive line. But it looks that way now.
TD, if it does come to, you know, the draft and the Titans are kind of getting married with the idea of Jeremiah Love at 4, should they be worried about somebody trading up in front of them to get Jeremiah Love?
I don't know about worried about it. It's one of the, if it happens, then it's kind of like natural selection. You know what I mean? Where,
right.
You know, their pick was kind of jaded into what where it went because a guy that's clearly, you know, among their top ones is gone. You know, I think that's kind of how that works. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about a team straightened up because I feel like they have a cluster of guys, you know, four guys right there that hey, so if any of those guys are there, I think they'll be happy.
Yeah, just looking at some, you know, the fantasy drafts and so forth, that a lot of projections and mocks have Washington in some aspects a few weeks back going for a guy in Jeremiah Love. And Chase and I were just discussing about Arizona. Arizona just seems to have a running back by committee. Obviously, they signed Tyler Allgeier this past offseason. But again, there's no really definitive core piece there. And I think if Arizona were to get a guy like Kirk Cousins at quarterback, you have, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. at wide receiver, Trey McBride at tight end, their missing piece at running back seems to be a guy in Jeremiah Love. So that's what I'm just curious about. But again, a few drafts ago, they go draft Isaiah Simmons at defensive end. That just makes you wonder, what would Arizona do to kind of mess up this feng shui?
Yeah, it could definitely. There are so many ways that it could go. And you know what else? You know, Monty Osford obviously is a guy who has history with the Titans. So, yeah, and there's no direction. Now, obviously, he wasn't the guy that did all that back then, but, you know, he's in place now. And I'm not going to say that the clock is ticking on him, but he does have to get things turned around before it's too late.
Tron Davenport is with us. One more. Indiana's Pro Day is going on right now. Fernando Mendoza is on the field and throwing. All 32 NFL franchises are there to watch the Pro Day, but from the Titans' perspective, I mean, we know Mendoza's not on their radar, but could somebody like Omar Cooper Jr., Pat Cogan, I mean, do you think they're looking at some of those guys as potential players?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Pat Cogan, because nobody is talking about him, but he's someone, you know, on day three that could come in and help them out. And Omar Cooper, without a doubt, I really like his ability, and it's funny, I remember this year, just watching Indiana and then going into the, I almost said the locker room, in the media room, you know, talking with the other media folks. I'm like, man, that door number three is nice, you know. And here it is. He's a guy that may end up being the first receiver drafted, you know, very likely. Obviously, you know, Surratt is on that team as well.
TD, appreciate the time as always. Safe travels back to Nashville, and we'll talk soon.
All right, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely.
Let's go Mets.
Go Cards. Hey,
go Braves.
For the series today.
Hey, chill out, Nick.
We'll see you, TD.
All right.
Teron Davenport, you can see his work on ESPN and ESPN.com joining us, and I always appreciate that. Some good stuff we'll react to, and again, we're watching Fernando Mendoza throw right now on his pro day. We'll talk more about that and much more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, Nick in for Joe today, 102.5 The Game.